Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Most of the time, there's not an effort to engage in your argument in any good faith. People will just paint you as a homophobe. So it really has just kind of narrowed and shriveled the bounds of discourse.
My grandmother used to say, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. There are some scholars who would really like something to be true, who unfortunately become too open-minded, too uncritical.
If I'm looking inside myself for strength, it will fail. But that's not actually where my strength comes from, that Christ is greater than my heart.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
By now, you've probably read about this California law passed on the 26th by the state Senate, sponsored by Senator Ricardo Lara, that is intended, as they say, to close a little-known loophole in California law under which, at least according to the law's sponsor, gives certain schools, 34 California universities that are exempt from other laws, the license to discriminate and giving students there who are discriminated against absolutely no recourse. What is this law about, and what would it do to faith-based schools in California that are said to have a license to discriminate? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 23rd of June. We're talking with Roger Severino of the Heritage Foundation about an LGBT bill threatening religious liberty of religious schools in California. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate will join us, as he does every week. We'll be talking about a meeting of Christian leaders and the presumptive GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump in New York City. Mary Tollotson will be our guest. We're going to discuss with her she says it is idiotic to blame Christians for the Orlando attack. Why is that? She'll answer that question in hour two of the program. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. Our regular series, Christ in the Old Testament, will be in Psalm 16. Now, you can join us over the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about an LGBT bill threatening religious liberty in religious schools in California, Roger Severino, director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. Roger, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
This is what the sponsor of SB 1146 has to say about this law. Under state law, at least 34 California universities are exempt and do not have to comply with state non-discrimination laws, leaving thousands of students open to discrimination based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. These universities have a license to discriminate, and students have absolutely no recourse. Addressing this issue is long overdue. How do you respond to that?
I think it's wrong on many levels. What's at stake here is whether or not we can have true diversity in higher education in California. A state that's supposed to be the beacon of diversity is acting to undermine it. We need many voices, many different approaches when it comes to education, and those that have a religious point of view should not be excluded. And what the Lara bill is proposing to do is to exclude those voices by saying you cannot receive any state education funds if you hold true to your religious identity when it comes to issues related to sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity. And a lot of religious universities, a lot of world religions believe people are created male and female, and that as they're created male and female, they're created for each other in institutions like marriage. And these concepts are being assaulted by non-discrimination laws under the cover of a new ideology that's redefining what it means to be a man and a woman. And the issue is not so much where you fall on that dividing line. The issue now is whether or not you, as a person of faith, as a religion of, as an institution of faith, can express a belief that disagrees with the government on this issue. Is there going to be room for dissent? Is there going to be room for institutions to keep their religious identity? Now, people would realize if there was a yeshiva school, if the state of California said you must serve pork to all your employees and all your students, people would realize that that's an affront. And it wouldn't matter if the state of California said that this is good for people's health. It wouldn't matter if the state of California said that you can't discriminate against meat eaters by not allowing them pork. No, that's not what it means. Jewish students should be able to go to a Jewish school that furthers and inculcates their Jewish education and identity. There are plenty of schools that serve pork, just as there's plenty of schools that don't have a religious character. And so the state of California is making a tremendous mistake by attacking these universities in a way to say, if you do not comply with a new ideology, then you will be forced effectively to be excluded from the public square.
What actually would happen? What can you envision happening, especially with schools that are accepting state and federal money that do continue, at least for the time being, to be able to exercise the free exercise clause of the Constitution in the way they educate their students? What would happen if this law were to be finalized?
It would send a horrible precedent. So what we see is the left has said, all we want to do is to have people live and let people live their identities when it comes to sexual orientation and gender identity. And if you disagree, you could disagree on your own time and you'll be fine and the government will leave you alone. Just let us be who we are. That's being proved to be a lie. It was not about leaving people alone. It was first elevating sexual orientation and gender identity in law, labeling people who disagree as bigots and discriminators, and then going after them as people went after racists through the civil rights era and to today, to try to exclude and marginalize and label and say that religious beliefs, based on very foundational notions of creation, what it means to be a man or a woman, that these beliefs that have served society well are now being labeled discriminatory. So, for example, in practice, what this actually means is that in a religious college that has dorm rooms, if we send our daughters to that religious school, that daughter will not know whether or not the person they are rooming with is biologically male or not. And under this California law, the religious school would have to accept biological males who identify as female, and they'll be given dorm assignments with our daughters as women. And our daughters would not discover this until who knows how they would discover it. But this is a situation. And in locker rooms, they would have to share showers with biological males. That's what gender identity means. You don't need to change your birth certificate. You don't need to have surgery. You don't need to have any treatments done with the relation to hormones. You don't even have to dress a particular way. So long as you self-identify as somebody of a different sex, according to California, you are that sex and must be treated as such. And what the danger is here is that this is going to be imposed on religious universities, who, of course, many of which are going to resist this notion because they disagree. It violates their faith. So it's not about living out live anymore. The left is now saying you must affirm, you must change your beliefs effectively if you want a place at the public square. Otherwise, you will be shunned and treated like we treat racists. And that's a mistake because these are, as the Supreme Court said, and even when they redefined marriage, they said these beliefs are decent and honorable. That the premises are based on decent and honorable premises, that they deserve the ability to be passed along in education, and the Supreme Court said that as well. And this goes against that very notion of pluralism.
Would it potentially put religious colleges and universities in the state of California out of business?
It would affect the state funding streams. Now, right now, there is a federal protection under Title IX where universities can be exempted, but now there's a shame list. So the LGBT left has now been publishing the names of every university almost as trigger warnings to try to shame and exclude and blacklist universities simply because they live true to their religious identity. In other contexts, we're perfectly fine with living according to identity. We have Smith College as an all-women's college, and there's room for that sort of pluralism where men are excluded. We have historically black colleges where they don't have an explicit exclusion, but they still are historically black, and we're fine with that sort of diversity. We're fine with it with women's colleges. But now we're not fine with religious institutions, and the state of California is threatening to revoke state funding, and that would have an extraordinary impact on these universities because they're nonprofits, and they exist to serve the public, to educate our young people, to turn them into good citizens, and it would be very harmful to California and society at large if these religious universities would have to close. And this just shows that the left cares more about an ideology than the education of our children.
It's often observed that California, along with some other states, serves as a bellwether for issues like this. If this were to become finalized law in California, what would it bode for other states other than California?
It would set a bad precedent. This is why it has to be stopped. And it does also go to show that some people are saying that we need to find some sort of compromise, that people of faith need to say, well, you know, we're going to give up some of our rights, and in exchange that they will get some sort of guarantee that the left will leave us alone. And what happened in California was that they elevated sexual orientation and gender identity as a protected class under the education laws, and there was a religious exemption, and now that religious exemption is on the verge of being taken away. So it just goes to show that you cannot appease a bully. You have to stand up to a bully. And the bully is the LGBT lobby who's been pushing for this when it was unnecessary. These religious schools need to be able to be free to keep their religious identity. The religious voices are ones that treat people with respect and help ease cultural tensions. And what California is doing is inflaming cultural tensions. And hopefully it won't pass, but if it does pass, hopefully it'll be quarantined to California. But there's no guarantee given this current culture, which is why it's so important that it not even begin with California. It should end here.
Senate passed it on May 26th. I assume that the House needs to see it before it goes to Jerry Brown's desk for signature, which would be likely. What does the House look like in California? What do you expect to happen there?
It hasn't looked good, but there's always hope. And if people become aware of it, of what's going on, then there will be probably a backlash. And religious universities have been speaking out, and they've been letting their voices be known, that the consequences of this would be severe. And we want to be able to have a society where it's truly live and let live. And this is going counter to that instinct. California has done all sorts of troubling things, for example, with mandated abortion coverage through insurance, even of religious institutions, which goes at least against the spirit of the Weldon Amendment and possibly even federal law directly. But California likes to push the law on these things, and they've legalized a physician-assisted suicide recently as well. And at least there, they had some sort of exemption for people who objected. But there's no guarantee that's going to stay in as well. I mean, this ideology is in many ways about symbolic victories, not about helping flesh and blood people, even though these policies, when they get imposed, do hurt flesh and blood people. Because if these religious institutions disappear, there will be a tremendous loss to the diversity of California, tremendous loss to education, and we don't want to see that happen.
I've heard talk about attempts to seek some amendments for this bill before it passes. Can this thing be amended in such a way so as to not do the damage we've been talking about?
It's hard to imagine amendments that would undo it other than saying, just kidding, we didn't mean the proposed amendments that we've done so far. Because what they're doing is they're taking an existing exemption that has worked, modeled off Title IX, for decades. Don't touch it. If you're going to touch it, you're going to probably make it worse as opposed to better. And so the best idea is to leave it alone because it's worked well. And it's worked well on many issues, but all of a sudden, because now it deals with sexual orientation and gender identity, the left is up in arms. So it just shows that what issues they're really caring about more than the other protected classes. And so it just does expose that there's this ideology that's at play here that needs to be pushed back, pushed against.
Finally, then, if it passes, are there plans or should there be plans for a legal challenge to challenge the constitutionality of such a law?
You will probably expect a legal challenge to follow quickly. and there are First Amendment challenges, and you'd have to say, is this really targeting religion specifically for disfavor? Because what they're taking as an existing protection that it served well, and then they're taking it away. And what is the point of targeting religious universities and only religious universities in this particular way to take away something that has worked just fine for a very long time? And so I would expect there would be some challenge down the road, if for no other reason, because the stakes are so high. And, of course, there's the principle at stake. The principle is people of faith should not be forced to violate their faith in order to be given an equal seat at the table when it comes to interactions with government. There should be, at the very least, neutrality on this view, that religion should not be excluded from access to any government program or grants or students being able to get an education, because everybody pays taxes and religious institutions exist for the public good and to further the religious mission. And we need to keep always that in mind, that we don't want to condition religion on people violating their conscience in order to simply live their faith in the public square.
Roger Severino is director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation. You'll find a link to the Heritage Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Roger, thank you very much for your time, and keep up the good work.
Thanks.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We're going to talk about that meeting in New York between presumptive GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump and Christian leaders. What happened there? How did it get reported on? And does it matter? We'll be right back.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.